right. Our next case is 11-960, Kelly Blair versus the Board of Trustees of Sugar Creek Township. Mr. Schultz.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Matt Schultz. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Kelly Blair. I'd like to reserve, 3 minutes for my rebuttal, if I could. Your Honors, you've read the briefs. You know that this case is about the tenure rights of certified township police officers who have been appointed as chief of police for the township, and whether those certified township police officers retain their tenure rights once they're appointed as chief, specifically in townships that do not possess more than 10,000 residents and do not have civil service boards. The Second District Court of Appeals decided this case based on the relationship between subsection B and C of 505.49. Subsection 505.49B3 grants those certified township police officers the right to continued work unless they're removed for cause. Subsection 505.49C3 specifically grants chiefs of police in civil service townships the right to return to the patrol officer position that they held prior to becoming chief upon the removal of chief, not for cause. Our contention and the principle of law that was recognized by the Seventh District in Staley versus St. Clair Township is that chiefs of police who have been certified township police officers before being appointed chief in non-civil service townships have that same right to return. That right existed in the statute prior to the amendments in 1974, which divided township police departments into two. Townships where there was no civil service board and townships with populations of more than 10,000 where there was a civil service board. That added on what is now subsection C of 505.49, in addition to a lot of different other changes. In order to allow those larger townships to have civil service boards and have their police and fire departments governed by Chapter 124, the civil service statutes. Now, in doing that, the legislature had to remove those larger townships from the operation of subsection B, what is now subsection B of that, thereby removing the tenure rights of those police officers and firefighters. The first section of subsection C states that subsection B does not apply to these civil service townships. Now, when the legislature did that, they accidentally removed the tenure rights of those police chiefs in the civil service townships. The tenure rights of the police officers survived under Chapter 124. In order to correct this problem, in 1977, the legislature passed another bill adding on to subsection C, what is now subsection C3, granting those police chiefs in civil service townships the right to return to the position they held before becoming chief when they're removed without cause. Now, the problem arises in the Second District Court of Appeals' interpretation of this statute. The Second District held that the Second District held that subsection C3, the portion that grants those rights to civil service chiefs, would have no meaning if the court were to interpret subsection B3 the way that Mr. Blair had suggested they interpret it. The problem was the Second District Court of Appeals failed to realize that subsection B cannot and does not apply to civil service townships. The first section of subsection C removes those townships from the operation of that portion of the statute, as was necessary in order to subject them to the restrictions of Chapter 124. This is the issue that this entire case turns on, is whether Mr. Blair, as a career police officer in Sugar Creek Township, retained his tenure rights as a township certified township police chief certified township police officer when he became chief.
Is your argument basically that this was a matter of creating a new statutory category that inadvertently may affected a change that was never really intended, and that there's no logical basis or basis in the statutes to treat these two classes of police chiefs differently?
That is exactly it, Your Honor. That was the point of the 1977 amendment, was to try to address that problem that was accidentally created and to fix it.
Has any other court ruled on this issue?
To the extent I could tell, Your Honor, only the two courts that are in front of this court on the appeal, the 7th District and the 2nd District. The 7th District had earlier addressed a similar appeal, but it didn't actually involve the tenure rights. This court addressed a related issue in a case called Smith versus Freifogel. In that case, the township police chief in a non-civil service township had been removed from office without cause, but the township never tried to remove him from the police force. They automatically offered him his job as a patrol officer back, because that was the state of the law. That was 5 years before the Staley decision, which was in 1987. The state of the law for 25 years has been that certified township police officers who get appointed chief retain their tenure rights. That has been the only case law in this state for 25 years until last February.
So, counsel, if the issue is with the legislature, and even if we were to concede there's no basis for treating the two categories of police chiefs differently, isn't that a fix for the legislature?
Well, that's what the legislature was trying to do, Your Honor, was to
put... It doesn't appear they accomplished what you're contending they tried to do.
For 25 years they did, Your Honor. The only court to rule on the issue was in 1987, the 7th District. That interpreted the way that the legislature seems to have intended, that these two types of police chiefs in townships, the one in the civil service, the one in the non-civil service, have the same rights. That's what the 7th District decided. The 2nd District decided to create separate groups of township police chiefs with, we would argue, we didn't brief this issue, but no reason for doing so.
So your argument would be that we had no need to go to the legislature until this anomaly in interpretation came up? Is that what you're basically trying to tell
Approximately
us?
Approximately a year ago, Your Honor. Until then, the law made sense. The law treated these two types of police chiefs the same.
Had there been any case decisions at lower court levels involving non-civil service police chiefs being treated in accordance with the 7th District appellate decision?
That 7th District decision was all I could find, Your Honor.
Okay.
This is an issue that has not come up a lot. But it is an issue that has the potential to affect hundreds of police chiefs in townships throughout the state.
Is it your understanding that routinely police chiefs were returned, so this issue wasn't contested, basically, until this one case?
Well, that's not what happened in the Staley decision, Your Honor, obviously.
Right.
But that is what happened in Freifogel. I believe that is what happened in Copley, which was the other decision from the 7th District. The 7th District is really the only district to have dealt with this until this case arose in the 2nd.
I guess my question more is, as a evidentiary matter, is this usually a police chief retires or resigns or is terminated and he goes back to the police force, and nobody's been contesting this until this case?
Well, Mr. Blair did testify that that's what had happened in Sugar Creek Township before. And he did testify that his understanding was he had the right to return to his job as a police officer if he was removed without cause.
And is there evidence in the record that his predecessor returned?
Yes, Mr. Blair's own testimony.
Pardon me, please?
Mr. Blair's own testimony that his predecessor returned to the police force.
His predecessor was a police chief, and when he vacated that position, he was returned to his previous position as a member of the police department.
Exactly, Your Honor. That happened with Mr. Blair's predecessor and, I believe, the chief before that. This added to Mr. Blair's understanding of what his rights were when he took this job.
So can you help me? How do we get past 50549C that specifically says that the subsection you're referencing doesn't apply to townships of this size?
Sugar Creek Township is not sufficiently large to qualify for subsection C, Your Honor. It has less than 10,000 residents. The party stipulated to that when the case was last in the trial court. The problem with this, Your Honors, is that it influences public policy to such a degree. The Court of Appeals ruling in this case below would destroy any reason for a certified township police officer to accept the position as chief in his or her township. There is simply no reason to give up a 20, 30-year career, as Mr. Blair did, in order to accept a position where one could be removed at the whim of three individuals one doesn't even know.
Counsel, let me ask you a question before your time expires, because I don't think that you've touched on it, and I just wonder whether this is part of your argument, because what I've heard so far is the legislature intended to do something, but the language doesn't necessarily say that, so we should go with what the legislature intended rather than what the language says, which is a difficult argument to make. But there is, in the section 505.49B3, which says, except as in Division D, a patrol officer or other police district employee can only be removed or suspended in accordance with the procedures. And I think I recall in your brief that you made an argument that while a person is removed as chief, they still remain as a patrol officer or other police district employee unless removed. And so they have to follow the statutory procedures, which wasn't done in this case. Are you making that argument, or did I just get that out of thin air?
Your Honor, the argument is that Mr. Blair is now and always has been a certified township police officer. Has been since, I believe, the late 80s when he first took this job. He had his certificate pursuant to the statute sometime before then. He had also served as a police officer in the city of Dayton.
So you're arguing that he can be both at the same time. It's not an either-or proposition.
Yes, Your Honor. And accepting the position of chief as chief doesn't make him not a police officer. It just means that he has these extra administrative duties. And, Your Honors, my time is up. I'd like to reserve the rest for rebuttal. Thank you.
Counsel, why don't you start with that last point that was made, that there's a dual capacity here, that the police chief, while now not all police officers are chief, all chiefs are police officers.
Yep. Excuse me. Yes. Chief Justice O'Connor, the problem with that argument is you have to look at the specific language of 50549. And 50549, nowhere in the statute, either pre-amendment or post-amendment, says that a certified police officer is entitled to certain protections. Rather, what the statute says under 50549B2 B3 is that a patrol officer, other police district employee, or police constable is entitled to those protections. Now, that's important because a patrol officer is defined in Section 12444 as a rank within the police department, similar to the chief of police being a rank within the police
Does
department.
Does 12444 apply to 505 if it's not a township of more than 10,000?
Well, I don't think it applies, Your Honor. I think it is intricately intertwined by virtue of it referring to Chapter 124 when you're looking at 50549C. And I think that
C is a township, applies to townships of 10,000 or more, right?
Right, Your Honor. But what my point is I think the legislature would know when it drafted 50549C that had previously defined, specifically defined, a patrol officer as a rank within the police department. Had the legislature intended that all police officers, certified police officers, be given the rights that it set forth in 50549B3, it could have stated so. But it didn't. It specifically used the terminology patrol officer.
Yeah, but C, and tell me if I'm wrong, but C references 120, section 124 in regard to townships with a population of more than 10,000, but doesn't reference it, does not reference it with townships of less than 10,000.
You're absolutely correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so it, because it was defined, and that's one section of the code, it should be read into this other section of the code. Is that your argument?
I believe so. I think that the legislature would be cognizant of the fact that it had previously defined.
What about other police district employee or police constable? Now, there was something in the briefs, although it wasn't entirely clear, about whether or not Mr. Blair was also a constable.
Well, Your Honor, the issue of the constable was decided below. That, in fact, he had been previously designated a constable. However, the court below determined that he had not been terminated as a constable. That issue was not before this court and was not appealed before this court.
But constable doesn't necessarily entail employment?
Unfortunately, Your Honor.
I'm trying to understand. That's why I'm asking.
Absolutely. That's part of the confusion of this case. And our brief initially sets out, it has a very unique procedural history because the original issue that was appealed in the administrative appeal in this case was, in fact, that he was not provided the procedures that he was entitled to because he had been designated a constable subsequent to being appointed the chief of police. The trial court initially found that in fact, he wasn't provided those due process protections. That was appealed to the Second District Court of Appeals, and what the Second District Court of Appeals said was, when you looked at the termination of Mr. Blair, there was no reference to his position as constable, and that the township trustees can only speak through their records, and therefore he was not terminated as a constable, and that's something that the township will have to deal with at another point. However, this new argument came in and was not part of the original appeal of, oh, and by the way, he was should have been returned to his position that he held prior to becoming chief. The problem with that, there's nowhere in the statute that provides for that, except for under 50549C, and that's only as to the townships that are civil service townships of 10,000 and more. There's no dispute between the parties that that's not Sugar Creek Township. What the statute does say, clearly and unequivocally, is the trustees shall appoint a chief of police, and that chief of police serves at the pleasure of the Board of Trustees. That's what the statute provides. Then it provides separate.
The argument is that when the different categories were created, that there was never any intention to take those rights away from the smaller jurisdictions. Can you give me any legislative history or any rationale for why you would give greater protections to one class and take all those protections away from the other class?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think those protections existed previously under 50549. They've always referred to patrol officers, or actually up until 1996, it referred to patrol men, other police district employees, and constables. But the statute always, even pre-House Bill 513 in 1974, always said the chief of police serves at the pleasure of the board. What amended House Bill 513 did was provide that certain townships of larger townships of a certain size that have a large police department could set up their own civil service commission and therefore then be, you know, governed by 124. However, if you look at 124.11, when they did that, they said, but chiefs of police in civil service townships remain classified employees. So
So you're arguing that the protections he's asking for never existed in the first place.
Absolutely. There's no support in that. What the legislature then did when they amended it further a few years later is it appears to be a concession in that they said, okay, because 124.11 provides that civil service townships, the police chiefs are in the competitive class still. They're not unclassified. What they did is they made an exception to that and said civil service townships, trustees can have the ability to appoint a chief, and that chief then is in the unclassified status. But I think as a concession to those individuals who were in civil service protected police departments, they said, but in only those cases, and in fact, the legislature was very clear, it said only people that were appointed in that manner in civil service townships can return to the classified position they held prior to becoming chief. And again, I think that has nothing to do with those smaller townships, the townships that the statute has always provided chiefs of police serve at the pleasure of the board. And I think a smaller township could, the 505.49 provides that the trustees can determine how many patrol officers, other personnel are necessary. If you have a small township that has a chief of police and potentially three patrol officers, and they can remove the chief of police, if you give them this protection that they have to be returned to a patrol officer, I mean, that's a significant burden on a very small police department. And I think that's why the legislator made a distinction in those departments that are large, then have civil service protections in a civil service township. But there's nowhere in the statutes that provide at any time that someone could return to the position they held prior to being chief.
So, Ms. Frick, if I understand the argument, and it was a little bit unclear, the chief was also then named a constable with no extra pay, but the idea was that if he was named a constable, then he's also a certified police officer. And you're saying that's not the case. You can't have a dual capacity in a situation like this, so that if you're terminated as chief, you're not terminated as constable, and as constable, you're a certified police officer.
And I want to make sure I understand your question correctly.
Yeah, I may not understand it. That's why I'm asking you.
It's difficult to separate it out because the constable position is really not at issue at this point in the stage of litigation.
Is that coterminous with certified police officer?
I don't believe so, no, Your Honor. A certified police officer is someone who, under 109.77, has gone through the specific academy. And that gives them, or essentially states, that they have the qualifications to be a police officer. Now, it doesn't infer any other rights upon them. It simply is that you have the ability, you've gone through what you need to become a police officer. What gives them the extra rights is 505.49(b)(3). If you are a patrol officer, other police district employee, or constable. In this case, the issue of whether or not he was a constable was a very different issue. And in fact, as I said, the Court of Appeals has already said he wasn't terminated as a constable. That issue remains out there at how that's dealt with. But what he's seeking now is to be returned to the position he held prior to chief. And our position is there's no statutory authority for him to be able to do that.
So simply because he may still be a constable does not entitle him to go back to his previous position with the seniority there?
No, Your Honor, I think that's a very separate designation. And in fact, the reason that even occurred was at the time he was designated a constable, which was subsequent to his appointment as chief, was because the township hall was contained within a city limits. And therefore, in order to give them jurisdiction at township meetings, they designated certain police officers to be constables so that they had jurisdiction for trustee meetings. Subsequently, that township hall was moved. The status of constable just was on there still.
Counsel, let me ask you another question about the in smaller townships, a police chief who was removed going back to their former position and what effect that would have. And I'm not sure how big the township in this case is and how many police officers or law enforcement officers with the department there are. So maybe you could answer that question first. And then second of all, under Chapter 124, I believe there are bumping rights. And if the chief, but I know this is a long question, but if the chief were removed and returned to the former position, then is there a procedure for removing one when there's no open position?
No, and that's the problem, Your Honor, because in this particular situation, I don't think that's what the legislature ever intended. Because, in fact, just as you've pointed out, if in a township, a smaller township, that you have to return the chief of police to, it's not even clear what position, a position he held, a patrol officer position, what position that he held at some point prior. Does that require a small township then to either create a position for them, bump somebody else? It creates a whole other set of problems. And I think the whole point is the legislature didn't intend for that to happen, because what they did is, had they intended that, they could have kept them, these smaller townships, under those provisions under 124 where there are bumping rights. But they didn't do that. And so it would leave open this whole question of what does this small township does that maybe only has three or four part-time patrol officers in addition to the chief. If, in fact, they have to return the chief to the position, what do they do with them, and what do they do with their other patrol officers? And, in fact, you know, are they required to create a position?
Ms. Frick, the argument, if I understood Mr. Schultz, was that the two predecessor chiefs had been returned to positions on the police force. And at the time that Mr. Blair took this position in 1998, he at least had the expectation of that situation. And having been appointed in 1988, he had a 10-year service as a police officer. And his argument is, I think, why would anybody become chief if they could lose their position without having any security and take on all the extra responsibilities of being chief? It would have been so much easier to just maintain your position as a patrol officer.
Well, let me
You haven't addressed that. I wonder if you would comment on those.
Let me deal with the second part first, Your Honor. I think that argument, that second argument, that there's a disincentive then to become chief is kind of disingenuous. That sort of thing happens in all walks of life. When you're looking
in
at
what?
That type of situation happens quite frankly quite a bit. If you look at a situation in which an individual is perhaps in the labor force in a labor union capacity and then gets promoted into management, they lose certain rights. Is that a disincentive then for them to be promoted? In a situation in other capacities of public employment where someone becomes promoted into the unclassified status versus the classified status, I don't believe it's a disincentive because there are certain benefits that you achieve by getting to that higher level.
Well, in
but
this
the
case,
trade-off
the argument
is,
would be that Mr. Schultz, if I understand Mr. Schultz correctly, I'm not sure I do, but his client was a police officer for 10 years and then became chief, and those who had preceded him when they left the position as chief were returned to the police department. So he would have had 10 years of experience as a police officer and then thought, well, if this terminates, I can go back to maintain my position.
Well, Your Honor, I think that Mr. Blair's testimony...
Was that true? Did the two predecessors return to the department?
As I recall, Your Honor, the predecessor directly before him resigned and then resigned under a disability retirement and then returned to a position within the police department. It was not as if he did that because of any particular requirement. He was not removed. The one prior to that, quite honestly, Your Honor, I don't recall. But what I do recall, however, is that Mr. Blair testified that he thought that because he had been designated a constable. It wasn't until the new argument arose and in the second hearing that was held that he said, oh, and by the way, I also thought that because I was still a certified police officer.
And do you agree that this case is in conflict with the 7th Appellate District?
I do, Your Honor, to the extent that I don't believe that the Staley case said he should be returned to the position he held prior. But what the Staley case did say is because he was a police officer, that he should have been given the same rights as are contained under 50549B3. And I believe that that position was incorrect.
Okay, thank you.
The removal was because of financial reasons. Do I recall reading that? That the township removed the chief to save money, or is...
No, Your Honor.
Not the reason.
That was not the reason. Okay. It was not for any reason that would be set forth that would require a hearing under 505-491, but it was essentially for the township to go in a different direction. Thank you, Your Honors. And again, we would ask you to uphold the Second District's decision in this because we believe that's the correct position. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. First, I'd like to correct a misapprehension. The argument regarding Mr. Blair's rights as a certified police officer in the township is not a new argument. It was made in our very first brief filed in the trial court. It has been made continually in the 6 years since then. It is not in any way, shape, or form a new argument. Granted, we also made the constable argument. They were parallel arguments, and that issue is no longer before this court. It was at least partially resolved by the Second District. Essentially, there is no justification. There is no logical reason for the legislature to have created a subclass of township police chiefs. Pursuant to 505.49C.
But the observation has been that in these very small communities that it makes for an untenable situation to have a police chief leave that position and then automatically be reinstated as maybe one of three or four part-time officers.
Oddly enough, Your Honor, situation of the Township Board of Trustees' own making. Situation of the Board of Trustees' own making by removing the Township Police officer, police chief.
Well, they can't be forced to keep a Township Police officer under all circumstances because of the makeup of their particular workforce.
Not a police chief, Your Honor, a police officer. There are actually allowances in the statute to allow the township boards of trustees to lay off officers when they can't afford to pay them. And in that situation where the chief of police is removed and returned to his position as a regular police officer.
So that's a bumping right in essence that,
exactly,
that I'm coming back. It's too bad you've been you're the low person on the totem pole and you're going to have to go on layoff status.
That's consistent with the public policy of this state to reward service and time and service, Your Honor. That's consistent with the bumping rights under Chapter 124, which don't apply, but are similar. And that's consistent with Chapter 505 and the methods for removal where there are layoffs in the police force. I have 10 seconds left. I'd like to conclude by asking the court to reverse the decision of the Second District, to adopt the principle of law adopted by the Seventh District, and to reinstate Mr. Blair to his position as Township Police Officer. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision.